You're listening to the Displaying Grace podcast, where we equip and encourage women to thrive in their walk with Jesus every day. We're your hosts, Michelle and Jessica. So grab your coffee and your Bible and let's follow him together. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Displaying Grace podcast. Today is a special episode. It is our annual Mother's Day episode where we just chat about all things motherhood and maybe make you feel a little bit better about yourself when it's all said and done.
With our motherhood shenanigans.
Right. You know, most of the time when we have a podcast, we at least try and have an outline of what we're going to talk about and kind of give a little script to it so we at least have something to follow. But today we're just kind of winging it for you. And so there's no telling what we're going to say or what might come out of our mouths or what kid may walk in the room while we're trying to record this podcast.
Because that's motherhood. That's mom life.
Right. So I think we sort of have to lead off with mothering in the middle of whatever is happening around us right now. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of finding myself, I think not a lot has changed. You and I both talked about that, how, you know, we were already doing homeschooling. We were already at home with our kids all the time. So this isn't new for us. Right. It's not, you know, none of those things. But I think it sort of has, at least for me, like opened my eyes to some places that I need to do better as a mom.
Oh, absolutely.
And just, I don't know, cultivate things differently as a mom in my house. I don't know if it's been that way for you or not.
Yeah, I've seen the busyness, I think, you know, because, and I've said this before, probably in the, maybe one of the last two podcasts, that, you know, it was the busy, go, go, go all the time has stopped for us right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though we still have schooling and things to do inside of our home, I'm just seeing more of a connection with my kids and more of some quiet, personal time with them.
Right.
When we're not so busy, you know, when we don't feel like we have somewhere to go all the time. Because even, like for me, even if we didn't have to go somewhere, like it wasn't a mandatory thing, like my oldest goes to piano. So right. That's been cut out for a while, but even like, that's a mandatory thing that we have to go to, but even like, oh, hey, we don't have anything to do. Let's go out and go shopping or let's go to the store, or, you know, look around or whatever. That's just kind of how we do. But when we don't have that ability to go out and do that, we're finding more free time to be with our kids, I think.
Right.
When we're at home.
You know, I think for us, it's sort of been this realization that we really were in our separate corners and we were really doing life separately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we weren't together like in the evenings. I think about at night, you know, when I've talked about this on the podcast before, I think sometime over the summer, we gave up doing, Taekwondo because we were, we were gone multiple nights a week. We weren't eating dinner together anymore. It just felt very wrong. So we stopped. And then I came to the realization when all this happened that we really weren't eating dinner together. Mm-hmm. And we weren't spending time in the evenings together and just having that quality time. We would go all to our respective corners of the house and do our own thing, you know?
Yeah, it's like, wait, when did we become roommates instead of a family?
Right, like we just live together. Mm-hmm. And so it's been nice to spend time with each other in the evening and just, I don't know, it's like, it's learning new sides of your family. And like last night we watched The Absent-Minded Professor and it was really cool to just sit and be together and watch something like that. And so I think I'm learning and seeing some places where, you know, God is opening my eyes to some things that need to be tweaked in motherhood. And I'm grateful for those things. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have, you know, my eyes open to that and really, and see where I need to, you know, work on things.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because Monday was May the 4th, and I know you have boys. Did you watch Star Wars with your kids?
No. No. My husband did. The boys, all the boys in the house, they watched it during the day. Mm-hmm. They watched the new Star Wars movie, and I was like, I'm going to work. I'll see you later.
That's so funny.
At least it was during the day, and so I felt a little less, less guilty about being in my own corner, but I'm not a Star Wars fan. My dad wore me out on Star Wars and Star Trek when I was a kid, and I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm good. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I didn't watch them as a kid. I never really liked them. But now that I'm older, like, I started watching them several months ago. My husband kind of introduced me to them, and we watched a little bit. But my middle child, I have all girls, but my middle child, she's kind of like, we joke around that she's the boy we never had, because she very much is a tomboy. She likes to run. She likes to play sports. She likes to be outside. She likes to get dirty.
Right.
She's not into the makeup and all that. But she watched Star Wars. She wanted to watch it. But I feel like a little part of her, she always wants to watch the same one. and I think it's because of, who am I thinking of? The main character, whoever the main character is, I can't even think. I think she thinks he's a cute.
Oh.
So I think it's not so much the Star Wars as it is the actor.
The motivation behind it. I get it. I hear her. I get that.
Yeah. And then I think my oldest one doesn't mind watching it because he's cute. So it's like they're both liking it for similar reasons, but different reasons.
There's always this like constant battle in our house between like, you know, what's categorized as like girly movies and what's categorized as like manly or boy movies. And so there's always that sort of battle of, you know, what are we going to watch and who does it appeal to and all of those things. And so there's always that level there, but no, Star Wars is not one that we've all, you know, piled up on the couch to watch. That's just not quite our family thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's funny how everybody's like, just how everybody's different. You know, I look at my kids and I think how their personalities are different.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of goes along with like what we're talking about with spending time with your family and spending time with them, you know, knowing your kids' personalities and knowing what you can and cannot do with them during this time or when they need you and when they need your time. Like, I can't do the same thing with my middle child. I can't sit and do makeup and nails with her like mm-hmm. I can my oldest. I have to go outside and pick up rocks and collect rocks with her and, you know, examine them and see what kind of rocks they are, because that's just the type of kid that she is.
Well, it's so many times it's learning their love language, you know, and what makes them feel secure and loved. And my kids are starting to enter into this. I'm noticing their love languages are like physical touch, like that hug, having a hug that makes them feel secure and safe, which I totally get because that's how I am. Like, something about a hug from someone makes you feel secure and safe, which is why I'm not dealing well with quarantine right now.
Right.
But, you know, that learning their love languages and learning how they speak love, how they give love, how they receive love. That's an interesting part of, you know, being at home with your kids, because you really see all facets of them. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, which we're not going to go down the Facebook rabbit trail, but except for this one thing. I saw it was somebody wrote on the side of their SUV that said, oh man, what did it say? Now I'm not going to be able to remember.
I think I know what you're talking
about. You
lied. Yeah. My kid is not a joy to have.
Yes, that's what it was. I was like, oh man. Because I think so much of us are really learning about our kids in different ways. Like, even if we've been at home with our kids, we're still learning about them, how they're coping with things like what they're dealing with right now. Because even if your kids were already at home, they're still having to learn how to cope with what's happening around them.
Right.
Just like we are. And so, you know, I think you learn more about them and how they function and how they need more care right now, if that even makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, like, my little one, she doesn't even understand what's happening. She hears what everybody else is saying.
Right.
You know, so she picks up on, I hate to say it like this, but we don't use the word stupid in our house. Yeah. So that's a bad word for them to say. So we constantly don't say that word, don't say that word. So the other day she asked me, she said, can I say stupid just one time? And I was like, just once. And she said, I'm ready for this stupid coronavirus stuff to go away. And it got me tickled because she has no concept at all as to what's happening.
Yeah.
And what's going on. You know, but my oldest and even my middle one a little bit, you know, trying to work them through, like, this is something serious that's going on. And this is, yeah, we don't like being stuck at home and not being able to go anywhere. And they can't get out. We haven't taken them to the store. So, you know, they're kind of getting cabin fever a little bit. But having to explain, you know, to them through this season what's going on has not been easy.
No, it's super hard. And, like, I mean, I think even for me, I struggled to navigate my own feelings on a regular basis, much less help my kids navigate their feelings, you know. So
yeah.
I think it's just, it's one day at a time, one step at a time. So the question is, of course, with Mother's Day coming up this weekend, you know, what is Mother's Day to you? I think everybody has sort of a different take on holidays like this. But what's it mean to you?
You know, my upbringing was a little bit different. And I think, for me, Mother's Day, my mother is still around, but I don't have a relationship with her. And, you know, I just think for me, Mother's Day isn't really even about me. You know, I look at it sometimes as just another day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a huge, like, I want everybody to pamper me. As much as I would love to, like, don't anybody bother me, I just want to stay in the bed. Like, that's what my wish would be. Like, bring me some breakfast in bed.
Right.
And then I'm going to go back to sleep. And then maybe I'll wake up later to go to the bathroom and I'm going to get back in the bed. You know, as much as maybe I would like that, really it's to me, I celebrate with my kids a lot on Mother's Day. You know, we have a cookout and stuff like that. But to me, it just makes me think about the kind of mother that I want to be. Yeah. It's more a day of reflection, I think, for me. And thinking about how I grew up and thinking about, you know, how I used to be and the kind of mom that I have grown from, I guess, my motherhood and my mothering, I guess, has had its ups and downs. And I've had to really pray and seek some wisdom from God about how to be a better mother and how to not take this role lightly, but to, I think, just grasp the responsibility that He's given me to mother these children, because and to point them to Jesus every day, you know, not necessarily, because it isn't just about, you know, make your bed and then let me fix you some breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then you go back to bed.
Yeah.
There's so much to mothering. There's so many seasons, so many aspects, so many levels to mothering that I think we miss sometimes. You know, and I think so Mother's Day really is just, for me, I think it's more of a reflection time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for me, I've just, Mother's Day is, I think I appreciated Mother's Day differently after I lost my dad. You know, my first Mother's Day, it felt weird and different and, you know, oh, well, I am a mom now, but I don't think I appreciated Mother's Day until after I lost my dad. You know, because I do have a good relationship with my mom and, you know, so I do enjoy being able to celebrate her, and celebrating my grandmother was always, you know, part of Mother's Day. And of course, she passed 2 years ago. And so I always think of her, and just even just thinking of the women in my life who've had an impact on me, who have been, whether it's like a spiritual mother or just a woman in my life who's just made an impact in some way. I think of them. I just think it's sort of strange. I don't know if that's like a, if that's a good word. Sometimes it just feels weird, you know, to be celebrated in that way. You know, I don't mind it. Of course, who doesn't? Make me breakfast and buy me lunch. That's totally fine. But you know,
but I think like we're the type of people that kind of stay in the background. You know, we don't necessarily want to be out in the limelight and have all of the attention on us. So when it is, it, like you said, it is kind of awkward. And, you know, just like uncomfortable.
Now, listen, I will say that this year I have told them that we will have a Harry Potter marathon and I will watch Gilmore Girls, and the TV is mine from Friday through Sunday. And there will be
a whole Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, there will be no complaining because it's happening. It's just happening. And so I did tell them that, like, and the only thing I requested for Mother's Day was plants. I just want some plants.
Can I just say that I love that, because I've seen your post here recently about the plants that you've gotten, and I'm so proud of you, because I know that you like things die.
They do. I look at plants and they die. I know.
I'm very proud of you.
I think I look at it this way. I something about the green in the house, and like it just reminds me of life, and it reminds me of how God cares even for the small things, and how like I repotted one of my plants over the weekend, and her name is Gladys. If you haven't seen my Instagram stories, I've named all my plants.
I love it.
But Gladys was one of the first ones that I bought. My mom says she's one of those that's hard to kill, so she's in a good home. But I pulled her out of the pot that she was in, and her roots were so strong, and they had grown so much since I got her. And it was such a spiritual application for me in a time that's been really hard for me mentally, that even in the middle of all of that, what's growing deep and unseen, and how God is working and moving in unseen ways, it is powerful, and it's rooting us deep to grow. And so I'm learning all sorts of spiritual lessons from my plants, and I need more plants in the house, because they're just, I mean, they really are teaching me some much needed spiritual lessons.
Yeah, I definitely could kind of feel a lesson coming on as you were telling that story. And I love it, because I don't think we look at things like that often enough.
Yeah.
I don't have a green thumb either. I mean, I have a garden and I can keep my garden going, but gardening and plants, I think, are two different
they
stories.
Really are two different breeds of animal. And I don't know that I could effectively make our family survive if I had to garden. I don't think it would happen. I think we would be in trouble, and we would need to, like, you know, move in with a family that could do those things. Like, I would clean in exchange for someone who could garden.
There you go. We have, like, well, look, I got you there. That'll be our deal. You come clean my house, and I will provide you with all of the cucumbers and tomatoes and squash that you need.
It would be like, we'd live on a compound. It would be the the homesteading compound, because some of us just very number one, not outdoorsy, and number two, I have a tendency to look at plants. I am the one who killed a succulent. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
You know, those things that people say you can't kill. I did it.
Right.
I did it. And I think I watered it too much. That may have been the problem. But I'm learning the error of my ways, and I'm learning how to care for the plants. And I think it's like God allowing me this glimpse of how he prunes and how he works and how he Just, I don't know. There's so many spiritual lessons here that I'm taking away from all of this.
I love it though. I love it. And I think, you know, we can even kind of take that, we'll kind of go back like full circle. And I think you can take that into motherhood. Mm-hmm. And even if you've had, you know, bad times where you quote unquote have kind of killed motherhood and it died, right. You know, you can always turn that around, yeah. You know, take it to the Lord,
yeah.
Take your, whatever you feel like is the problem in your mothering. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm a yeller. I will admit it. I need to get me a shirt that says I am that mom, right. Because I am. We're kind of a loud family and I have a tendency to yell from the back of my house to the front of my house to get somebody's attention. And, you know, but I think I'm working on that. And I've prayed so many times for God to work on my heart with that, because I don't want to be that kind of mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we put, but it's okay. It's okay too. Like I've kind of had to come to grips and give myself some grace when it comes to certain things and not beat myself up in my mothering so much.
Right.
You know, because we all, I think, want to be like that mom where we're Pinterest perfect and we've got it all together and we have our hair and makeup
that's
done every
lie.
Day. And we're not
there's
right.
That, that's a lie. If there's,
we're
if
not
there's,
in yoga pants and sweatpants all
it
day.
It does not exist anywhere. And I think we, you know, when we talk about things like yelling or our mistakes or the things that we don't do, feel like we do perfectly or do right, you know, even going back to the plant, we don't see fully what's happening at the root and mm-hmm. what's happening deep down and how God is still continuing to do the work. You know, yeah. I think the one thing we can do as moms, if, you know, if we feel like we're failing at everything else and we can't do all the things and we're not that perfect mom, it's just the reminder of, you know, God doesn't call us to perfection, but he calls us to just obedience. Right. And when we obediently love our children and share the gospel with our children, mm-hmm. and even loving them in the small ways of making meals and folding laundry and all of those
things. The mundane of everyday
right, that,
things, what we think is mundane.
Yeah, that God will take care of all the rest. Like, yeah. You know, even with, I can't help but use the plant analogy because I've become the crazy plant lady who talks to the plants in her house. But you water the plant little by little and it grows, not because of you. Mm-hmm. I can't like pull on the roots and make it grow. Like God created the plant to do that. And so,
well,
that little,
and it's
little.
Like you and I just talked about with like my garden, we just put our plants in the ground and I was saying, I can't wait for the time that I can go out there and pick,
yeah.
But I have to wait.
Right.
You know, it's not, my cucumbers are not going to pop up instantaneously. I'm not going to walk out there tomorrow and see tomatoes growing. I have to wait and I have to be patient. I have to let the work be done mm-hmm. before I see the growth,
yeah.
and before I see the outcome.
Right.
And, you know, I think absolutely we can put that into, you know, a lesson on motherhood and how we have to wait. I prayed over my plants. I mean, I know that might sound silly to some people, but I did. As I was planting every single plant on Monday, I prayed over every single one because, you know, I told God a couple of years ago when we had our first garden, I prayed and I said, you know, we want to be able to share our bounty.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that if the garden isn't prosperous.
Right.
So, you know, I said, you know, if this grows, we will share it.
Yeah.
And it did. And I picked over 1800 cucumbers 2 years ago with my very first garden. And I prayed this time. And I think with mothering, we have to do the same thing. If we want to see growth, if we want to see our children prosper, and if we, because in turn, eventually we're going to have to share them with the world mm-hmm. and we're going to have to share them with everybody out there. And if we want them, like I said, to grow and be prosperous, we have to pray over them.
Right.
We have to love them well.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the plants and the, you know, vegetables and things in the garden.
So I think we both can can get a shirt for Mother's Day that says Crazy Plant Ladies.
Right.
Right. I will share this funny story. Ethan said, I was talking to my plants the other morning, and Ethan like peeked his head around the corner. He's almost 9. And he said, Mom, who are you talking to? I was like, I'm talking to my plants. And he was like, I think Dad needs to take you to the hospital. I don't think you're okay. And it's fine. I'm fine with it. 'Cause you have to talk to them so that they will grow and that they will, you just have to talk to your plants.
Yeah. And they'll get it. Our kids will get that one day when we're able to really explain to them, like, with the lesson behind all of this, they'll understand why we talk to our plants.
Right. Maybe, maybe not. Well, to all of our mamas out there, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And we pray that your day is blessed and that you remember that God sees you, that he loves you, and that you are extremely cared for. So until next time, grab your coffee.
And your Bible.
And let's follow him together.
Thank you.